Sharon McMahon, world's greatest ever netballer. Great to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for that. I'm not sure. Am I appreciating the feel of, or the thought behind the mayor comparison? I'm not so sure, but I'll take any kind of even vague compliment I can at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a compliment. Absolutely. It's coming from a place of love. Don't you worry about that.
Okay, right. Good.
Don't you worry
good,
about
okay.
that.
Okay, well, I'll take it then. I'll take it.
Well, they always talk about in racing, Sherelle, a mare in form. It's like you let them roll, just let them do their thing because they're fantastic and they just keep winning. You're a winner. You're a mare in form. That's what I reckon. Don't look at me like that.
Well, look, what I will say is about if that's a reference to how the Melbourne Vixens are going, I would be, I am happy to let that roll. You know, we've had obviously, everyone who's playing sport at the elite level at the moment has, you know, had huge challenges, and certainly the Melbourne Vixens are no different to that. But I've just been so impressed with how they've handled everything, how they've handled the move and the uncertainty that sat around the beginning of their season in particular. And they've made it through to the grand final. So it's really exciting time. For some of these athletes, this is the first grand final they've played at this level. And so, you know, it's really exciting. So I'm hoping we roll on for that too.
Yeah, well, it's going to be exciting. It is exciting. And we talked on, who did we talk to Monday, Whitey? I can't remember. I'm getting very bad with this stuff. We talked about, it was the grand final we wanted. It's the Super Netball grand final we wanted with the West Coast Fever, because they've been the ones that have tested us most throughout the season, Sherelle. And they put the lightning to the sword. They've had a horrible couple of weeks of lightning. They've tapered off really poorly in the last couple of weeks. And obviously, when you're playing the best teams, that can happen. Meet the Vixens twice and then the Fever on the weekend. But they've tapered off pretty ordinarily. And the Fever have got a point of difference, haven't they, the way they play?
Yeah, it was so interesting watching Lightning, actually. I mean, they finished second on the ladder. But as you say, had a really bad loss against the Vixens. We took them out in that semi. And also the previous couple of weeks that they played against Fever, and their form, unfortunately for them, really did drop away in the last little bit. This is the first Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final they haven't been involved in. So this is the fourth season, or fifth season, actually. So they've been really successful. And I kind of thought they might turn it on for the prelim, but they just couldn't. They couldn't go with the Fever onslaught, basically. And, you know, the point of difference, I guess, for the Fever is that they do have the biggest target, the best goal shooter in the league, most prolific easily in the league. And it's really challenging to stop the supply of ball into her when they've got their tails up and they're playing really well. So that's the challenge ahead for the Vixens. Not only that, their defence end, you know, it's a Diamonds goalkeeper up the other end. And so, you know, they've just got a lot of strength right over the court. So it's a big challenge.
And one of the other things we were talking about, Sherelle, was the story around Stacey Marinkovic and the fact that, you know, she's been named the Australian coach. Sort of, it wasn't seen as the obvious choice necessarily to be the Diamonds coach. But here is the coach that's taken the team, the Fever, that's historically never been a particularly strong team, into a final series, now into a grand final. It's a great story. And I would like to know, does she do things differently, or has she just got a good team?
It's funny because after that announcement of the Aussie coach job, the team's really turned a corner. So it's been a massive change for them in terms of the success that they've had post the announcement. So I don't know. It's kind of galvanised them a bit. They lost their starting wing attack with a serious knee injury. So they've been able to cover that really well. I just think they're not necessarily doing anything too differently. It's just that they have just grown and got better across the season. You know, I think their standard play is to get the ball to Janelle Fowler as quickly as possible, who's the Jamaican goal shooter. And they're doing that really well and with a lot of confidence at the moment.
So how do you feel? You're an assistant coach of a team playing in a grand final. You've won grand finals as a player with the Vixens. You're now in a situation where you're in another state trying to be an assistant coach. Does it feel like you're playing in a grand final, or does it feel a bit odd?
I feel sick. That's how I feel. Like when I think about it, grand final weeks are a funny thing. And if you've ever played in one at whatever level it is, it's like you're going about your normal day and then suddenly it'll pop into your head that there's the grand final coming up. And I get this, it's a physical jolt. It's almost like an electricity that runs through me. And so I'm getting that. But it is different. There's no doubt about that. I would love to be up there experiencing the week with the girls and you know, playing that role of assistant coach as you normally would. But obviously, unfortunately, I'm back here in Melbourne. So I'll be watching from the couch by myself. Maybe my husband will be there and my kids will probably be annoying me at the time, asking for, you know, an apple or a Nutella sandwich or something as we get to the final moments.
Tell breakfast all that out.
Yeah, exactly. Can't you speak to Dad?
Do something,
how many times
bro.
I say that. but it is. It's a really strange feeling, Whitey. And I'm trying not to think about that too much. I'm still playing my role as I have done all year, talking to the coaches, talking to the players at times, providing that feedback and look forward to the Fever as to how we might be able to break them down. But, yeah, largely it's, well, as a lot of it has been, is out of my hands.
Yeah, well, surely I've been picturing your setup all week, I must admit. I'm trying to work out how you're going to sit there and watch it. I didn't picture anyone sitting near. I didn't picture Breck, certainly a door open so the kids could come in. I'd be shutting them right out of the world and just focusing in the little room by yourself with the TV.
Yeah, well, maybe I do need to look at my setup. One of the things that is stressing Melbourne netball fans at the moment is Dan's presser.
Dan's presser.
Because, yes, it happens often at, you know, that early afternoon kind of time slot, and we've been interrupted across the year with Dan's presser. And this is a big one, but so there's lots of things flying around, people tagging Dan Andrews going, hey, Dan, how about thinking of a different time to put the presser on? So anyone who wants to get behind the campaign to move the presser away from 1 o'clock on Sunday, get onto it, guys, because we want to push it.
Halftime entertainment, Dan's presser. That seems logical to me. Just do what the AFL do, make it longer. And hey, a serious question, Sherelle. Could you text Simone during a game? Are you able to communicate at all with her, like on a Google Docs setup or something like that, from your couch, or is that actually not allowed?
I think I probably could. To be honest, I'm not sure about the details of that, Whitey, in terms of the actual rules. We haven't been doing that. So it's certainly not something we'd throw into a grand final mix on for the only time in the year. I actually don't know the answer to that. We do have communication as a general rule, and even this is a little bit different given the circumstances, but we do have computer communication with our stats people. So we've got information flowing through to screens that we've got on the bench as the game is going on live. So we get those live stats. So, I mean, potentially that's certainly something that could happen, but it's not something that we've done.
It's interesting, Whitey. Good thinking from you. Outside the box there from you. This is why you're on the Big Bucks.
But didn't that happen in the AFL? And
I think Ruffy was doing it at the Saints for a little while.
Yeah, but I reckon it happened quite a few years ago where you could, an assistant coach or a coach could text in to the coach's box with information. I just wonder whether that's done.
All the phones are taken off them for policy issues and gambling and responsibility issues. Phones are taken off all the personnel these days.
Although I don't think that happens in netball, but I don't think there's the same kind of level of, I guess, betting on what's happening in netball. So they don't have that. So to be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I seem to remember there was someone doing that with, you know, like an earpiece in, but it wasn't allowed a few years ago in netball. I think that there was someone trying to stealthily do it, but it's not. No, it wasn't something at that point that was allowed. But yeah, I'm not sure.
Hey, Sherelle, why is Kim Ravalian only signed a 10-month deal with the Queensland Firebirds? We found out about it through football channels, funnily enough, but it's only a 10-month deal. Now, we know she's coming back from having the bub, which is fantastic. It's a great story, but why just the 10-monther?
Wasn't that a bizarre way for that story to be announced? I don't think anyone was super happy with the way that story broke. But, yeah, it's a good question. And what will happen is that the broadcast deal is coming up. I heard you talking a bit earlier, Whitey, about, you know, the money that's going to be in sport in the coming years and how interesting that will be and how that will affect professional sports. And netball's right in the throes of it at the moment because we've got a 1 year to run on this broadcast deal that we've got with Telstra and Channel 9. And so then that's when they're aligning all the contracts. So unfortunately what will happen is that, again, like what happened last time, every single player will be off contract at the end of next year.
Oh.
And it'll... Yeah, it's not the ideal situation, but that's what that's how they're doing it. And next year, because of what happened with the extension of the season this year, they've then said instead of it being, you know, a normal year next year, they're reducing that. So just for cost and being able to manage those things. So instead of it being the normal 12 months, it's dropped back to 10 months next year.
Okay, well, that makes a bit of sense. That's good. That's good clarity. Mm-hmm. So everyone's going to be out at the end of next year.
Yeah, that's, well, technically, yes. I mean, there may be some kind of, you know, agreements that are in place to extend it past, but officially it'll be, all off contract at the end of next year.
All right. Well, that makes a bit more sense because I was thinking, why would you sign a diamond to 10 months when you can lock her in for 3 or 4 years because she's only 27 or so? You could lock her in forever if you like.
Yeah, and anyone who, this is an interesting story, obviously, with Adam Treloar and what's going to happen there. And but if you, I don't know if anyone's on Instagram. I am. I like watching different people do their thing. Kim Ravalian has had this baby not very long ago. She is ripped like you've never seen an athlete ripped before. She has worked, obviously, incredibly hard to get herself back into a position where she can secure this contract. Yeah, as Harf picks up his phone and starts searching Kim Ravalian. And she's
just
got
for
a,
work
she's
purposes.
Got a business
just for...
She's got a business that she's running. It's a fitness business, and she is in great. She's always been a really phenomenal athlete, and so she's thoroughly deserves this position. Yeah, she's looking confused as he looks up.
God.
Looks her up on Instagram. She is in really good nick at the moment, so she'll be very much looking forward to the season next year, I would think.
Bloody Nora. She... Well, it's a good advertisement for a fitness business if that's what you come out looking like. Goodness me.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that's always how it plays out with those fitness businesses, but anyway, I guess that's the dream you're selling.
Well, she's in great nick and getting ready to play with the Firebirds, and we need to get to a break and have a chat to Adam Peacock after that. Great to have Sherelle with us. She's the world's greatest ever netballer off the SMS, as John says, the SMS from Davenport. She's a high-class mare with a couple of clapped-out geldings. And that's effectively what we are. And Whitey, I might as well be a goating these days. I might as well. We'll get to a break 24 past. Are you keeping abreast of the player trade movements, conversations in footy at the moment, Sherelle? Because it seems to be dominating the world, even though the trade period hasn't actually started yet. I'm interested to get your take on all of this.
Yeah, I know. It's strange, isn't it? I mean, I always find this period of time... there's just so much conjecture. So to be honest, like I do obviously keep up with what's going on and a few of the things that have been touted, players that are moving, but I try not to get too emotionally invested in it early because I know that oftentimes it's not until right at the end that we actually get the information. So I try, what's caught your eye, Harf, at the moment?
Well, the conversation that I was keen to have today with you two, because it affects you, Sherelle, and it affects Whitey, is the Adam Saad situation, because the requests have come in, seemingly from the Bombers, for what they think they should be getting back from the Blues, your Blues, Sherelle, as compensation, as a trade deal for Adam Saad, who is out of contract, which takes away a little bit of the leverage there, would have thought, from the Bombers' perspective. They've asked for one, Charlie Curnow, Sam Walsh, Who was the other one? Why did they ask for? It was a third player.
Harry Mackay.
They've asked for one of those three as trade for an out-of-contract halfback flanker. Or they've said, all right, don't worry about that. Give us your first pick and Tom DeConning. And the Carlton boys have said, well, let's not play that game. So they've gone hard early, Whitey. They've gone hard early trying to rip off Sherelle's boys, and I don't think she's happy about it.
No, I am not.
So how much does... I'll be the devil's advocate here for the moment. What sort of money would Adam Saad be getting at Carlton, Daniel?
Oh, well, I don't know. But I imagine sort of sixes.
Sixes or sevens, around that sort of mark?
Somewhere with between six and seven, maybe. I imagine.
How much money does Harry Mackay get at Carlton?
Well, that's not the point. Harry's a kid.
Well, yeah, but I think it's like for like, as in money for money or...
No, you know, right, value. You're playing this and you've got your hat on here.
No, hang on a sec. No. I said I'm being devil's advocate here, but is that why they're saying what they're saying?
No, because the money they're talking about with the players that they've requested information on would only apply to, I imagine, Charlie Kerno would be somewhere in that vicinity as a young player on the emerging list. Sam Walsh wouldn't be anywhere near it, and Harry Mackay wouldn't be anywhere near six or sevens. No way, because they've only just started their careers. So I don't think that's comparable for those two. I think Charlie's a marquee sort of player. He'd be somewhere near that number, you'd think.
Adam Sound's not a marquee player.
No, I know, but I'm saying Charlie, because he's still relatively young, Charlie, but he's a marquee sort of player. So he'd be getting good payment. I don't think the money is a comparable conversation with the Adam Saad deal, because there are different stages of the careers. And, one's disillusioned. No, Adam is disillusioned with his club. The biggest mistake they've made, I reckon, Essendon in all of this, Sherelle, is they've come out and effectively leaked information out about the way Adam carries himself through the club and within the team. And I reckon that's been a massive mistake in a negotiation where you're trying to get maximum leverage, maximum coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say from that Carlton perspective too, when you're thinking about those three names being thrown up, I think from a Carlton perspective, you'd have to be reasonably careful, if that's the right word to use, about the momentum and the excitement that's building with your fan base. I just wonder if you were to then do a trade with one of those big names who is one of the stars of the future for this club, whether that might, I don't know, I just feel like there's a different sort of feel with this club, that this is the group that's going to take us through to the next stage. Why would you rip, you know, one of the pieces of the fabric away from that? I just don't think that would be the right move for the Carlton Footy Club, both internally and externally at the moment.
It'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
PR-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I reckon, Half, and I'm being dead serious here. If I'm Essendon, I'm trying to get the deal done as early as possible with both Adam Saad and Joe Danaher. Now, when I say the deal with Joe Danaher, he may go as a free agent, but I think where the issue is going to be there with Essendon is that where the compensation pick actually takes place.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that the compensation pick will be at the end of the first round, not immediately after Essendon's first pick, which is what they want. So that's going to be, there's going to be some conjecture around that. But what Essendon needs to do, in my view, is to get these deals done as quickly as possible so they then know what they've got to then on trade, and also send a very strong message to their own players and their own supporters as to the direction they're going. If they stuff around and make this go too late into the exchange period, then we're going to be in a scenario where we're talking about Essendon not knowing what they're doing, rushing, and not being able to get other things done. So I would like to see Essendon get it done really early, so then they can say, right, we've got picks 6, 9, 13 and 22 in the draft at the moment. We're going to trade two of these top 25 picks. Come and talk to us. We want to do business. I'd like to see that sort of language from Essendon, rather than haggling over stupid things and then all of a sudden they're doing deals on Saad and Danaher on the last day of the trade period, and then they've got no time to get other things done.
That is a sound strategy in my mind, although the requests of recent days would suggest that that's a fair way off happening. We'll see what happens.
But we're still a fair way away from the trade period actually starting as well.
We are.